I don't know about you, but I've spent a good majority of my life trying to control how other people perceive me or the way that others look at me. I want them to make sure that they see me in the right way. And as you know, that can be exhausting. It was a way for me to control. And I'm sure you've heard scriptures, you know, be still and let the Lord fight for you. I don't know about you, but at least for me, I just wanted to know practically. It sounds really great on like a bumper sticker or a sticker to put on your laptop, and even really fun to make it a Bible quote for social media. But really, how can I be still and let the Lord fight for me? Because I still have to go about my day. I still have to show up. I still have to love people. I still have to take care of the house, clean the dishes, do the cat litter. Everything that you do and different things that you do than me. I just wanted to know, how do I do this? But I also had to know and recognize my need for other things too, like control. Controlling how people see me and defending my case and self. So today we're unpacking what Exodus 14:14 really means and why slowing down, or in this case, stillness, is often the hardest part of trusting God. So let's paint the picture together of Exodus 14:14. Israel is trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. There's no escape route here. And as you can imagine, even though we don't really get some of this context, there is fear, panic, accusations. And as early on as we can see, there is this fight, flee, blame, control. And then Moses comes in and says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." I think that we've been taught that stillness, or what we think is stillness, is that, you know, we're doing nothing, ignoring emotions, we're suppressing fear, we're just waiting passively. I actually had a one-on-one client session earlier, and we were talking about slowing down and pace. And she's like, "So what does that mean? Am I just supposed to like sit in my chair and just be sad and not do anything?" Because we're talking about how to experience your feelings. And I said that rest is not passive, it's active. And it's kind of this new concept for us. We just think that being still is doing nothing. But biblical stillness is not inactivity. It's not doing nothing. It's nothing. Did you like that? It's a decision to stop striving for control. And especially in those moments when you feel discomfort, because that is often when we want to correct, control, fix, or numb out, disengage. Me, when, and I use that example of being able to control how people perceive me, or in, if I reverse it, it's me wanting to defend my case because I wanted to control, again, just their perception of me. And just on a personal level, this is real time for me in a lot of ways, because there are certain areas of my life where things just haven't made sense, which just cause such extreme discomfort. The old me, she would have fought her way through, asking more questions than needed, trying to prove to people, control my image. And the new me is learning that I don't have to defend myself to everyone. And there's going to be times where I do things and people misunderstand me, or I think that they do. And I just have to be uncomfortably okay with knowing that was probably misunderstood if I don't have the opportunity to make it right. I can't control how somebody thinks about me, perceives me. And I don't need to, air quotes here, fight for myself in all situations. There's a deeper intimacy now with God that really, I believe he truly sees me, while at the same time recognizing and sitting in the discomfort that my body doesn't like this at all. It's two truths at once. I always say to my clients, whether you've gone through my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, or you worked with me one-on-one, there's often two truths at the same time. One's a big T truth and one's a little T truth. If I had done what God had asked me to do, then I can rest and be still in this. So the old me felt unsafe because control was so much about my protection. Stillness can feel just so hard in a world that is fast paced, in a world that we get instant gratification. We can use Amazon, for example. You need some spoons and some straws. Well, here you go. 24 hours later, you have them. It's this, I get what I want when I want it. And when I don't get it when I want it, I'm upset. And we even start to treat God like that. He didn't give me what I want. He must not care. This didn't happen the way that I wanted, and he must not love me, or he's evil, or he's unkind. There's a lot of things there, but a dysregulated nervous system equates stillness with danger. And at least for me, past pain had taught me that if I just keep moving, if I don't stop, then that means safety. Anytime I slow down, that feels like a threat. And for me, just control, it felt protective, even when it was exhausting. Stillness is hard because it feels rebellious. And it's hard because your body learned to survive by staying alert. Think about it. You probably desire to be still with God, but why don't you slow down? Even when you have margin in your day, why do you feel your day so full? Or why do you always have a podcast or music or something going on in the background? Understanding this helps. But as I say, understanding alone doesn't teach your body how to be still. And this is exactly the kind of work that I do inside of my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, learning how to walk this out, talk about emotions, so that stillness with God becomes possible and not threatening. So when we fight for ourselves, right, we overthink, we brace, we rehearse worst case scenarios. If you didn't check at the end of last year, I have two episodes about basically worst case scenarios, and I will link them here that you can reference them. But we exhaust ourselves when we fight, when we try to prove to others that we are worthy, when we try to control others around us to get them to do what we want them to do. And when they don't, it feels like chaos. That's us fighting to get the desired outcome, fighting to prevent pain. But when God fights for us, he moves while we rest. He parts seas that we couldn't. He works beyond our control, because you really have little control when we think about it. He can also work through other people on your behalf as well. God doesn't need us to panic for him to be powerful. One way practically that I have learned how to let the Lord fight for me is simply not defending my case. In every scenario, situation, when I feel deeply misunderstood or not heard or not seen, it's been a hard lesson for me, but also so extremely freeing, because I have again learned deeply that the Lord does see me. He does hear me. And if I believe that to be true, there's something very restful in that be still and know that the Lord will fight for you. I want you to remember that stillness doesn't start with silence. It starts with stopping the inner fight. Just once today, notice when you're fighting internally, planning, worrying, fixing. Oh, I should text that person and tell them I didn't mean to say it. Now, if you genuinely need to do that, of course. But we know when we're in discomfort and we're trying to fix it, meaning we're trying to get rid of our discomfort. Look at it that way. Notice today, at least once, when you are fighting with yourself internally against the discomfort. You don't have to stop it. I just want you to notice it. That's it. Just stop there, because I want you to have the awareness. Then you ask yourself, what am I trying to fight that God never asked me to? Where is God inviting me to stop striving even before anything changes? Important things to remember. God fights differently than we do. Stillness, our pace does not delay God. It creates space for him. you are not behind if stillness feels hard. When the sea parted, it wasn't because the Israelites were calm, collected, just, you know, so peaceful, knowing that Pharaoh's army was coming after them. It parted, the sea parted, because God was faithful in his promise, period. It didn't have anything to do with Moses. It had to do with God and his promises to his people. And he will never break his promises. If being still feels impossible, if your body kind of stays tense, or you just want to learn to trust God or really work through some emotions and beliefs, then I highly suggest you go get my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, because this is what it was created for. The podcast is all about helping you recognize the pattern, but the course, taking that next step, helps you retrain the way you think so that stillness with God becomes that safe and sustainable place. If you're ready to stop fighting and start resting, the link is in the show notes, or you can go to jessicahodl.com/heal, H-E-A-L. Again, the link is also in the show notes. Remember, you don't have to fight this battle. God already is. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.